101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Micah McCarty in studio with Bossier City Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks
good
for
morning,
making...
my friend Aaron. And
yes.
Mike, I thought you was a friend, but...
I know. I corrected it. Sorry. Thanks for making the drive from Paradise down to East Texas here and joining us.
I love how you say that, man. That's great. Now we're friends again.
Yeah. Look, we talked a little bit Friday about this. Bossier City, tell us, this has never happened before in this manner. You guys are hiring. Why don't you share this news?
Okay, basically, the count on the total of officers we have is 214 now, and the fire department is 206. And what we're going to do is add 10 more to each department to make it, you know, 224 and 216, which has never happened before. And I'm so excited because Bossier's getting bigger. We're getting more people coming to the boats and different events that we have in Bossier City. So my main thing and my administration's main thing is safety in Bossier City.
You campaigned on public safety.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
safety. That's one thing that we really, go for on Bossier City. But we're making sure that not only you're safe in police and stuff like that, but also in fire and medical, you know, services and stuff like that also. But I'm so excited about this. This has never happened. I'm glad that the council voted unanimous for it. And they all agree. We all agree that safety is a main point in Bossier.
Where are you going to find these officers? It's hard to find officers these days.
Tell you the truth, we're not that down that much either. We've been finding. I think we got two or three last week, and we're only down like a few. And
are you getting them from other parts of the state? Are you getting them from other agencies nearby?
They're coming from everywhere.
Are they?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, Bossier's great to work for. I mean,
your starting pay is better than most.
It's right there. It's pretty good. Yes, ma'am. It's right on up there. And it's fires is a good.
But you've never put like 10 officers at one time on the payroll. Even when the boats started coming to Bossier, you put 5 on one year and then 5 another year. So to bring in 10 officers and 10 firefighters, it's never been done before.
Well, see, if you hire those, if those go to school right now, to the academy now, they won't be ready for another year. Mm-hmm. So that's why we said that we go ahead and get the 10 people now so they'll be ready next year, because there's always people retiring.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that, you know, that change jobs and or some get sick and ill. But you got to keep up the amount of people. I just want my citizens to know that we're going to take care of them.
What's the commitment they have to make if they go through the academy? Is it a 2-year commitment to be a Bossier police officer or firefighter? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. They have some incentives that, you know, you can stay there 5 years.
Okay.
Stuff like that. But in Bossier City, just do your job, you know?
I mean, mm-hmm.
You know, you're going there and they can do their job, and they can do their job. And they do a good job.
Are you keeping up the and I hate to compare Shreveport, but the problem in Shreveport with recruiting police officers is that they're not keeping up with attrition. As people retire or move on to other agencies, they're losing. They're able to recruit. Is that a problem in Bossier or no?
No, man. You know, we have people, you know, retiring. At one time, there was a bunch of firemen hired at one time, so they were all eligible for retirement for one time. So that happened pretty much. We already built back up on that. But like, that's another reason why we're getting 10 more people to make sure that we have enough people there.
Okay.
As far as your relation to, you were talking about, you were so glad the council voted unanimously with this. It's basically a new council.
Yes, sir. There's 4 new ones. There's, you know, 3 from the last term. Well, we're working very well together.
I was just going to say you've got a great relationship.
Yes, I have a real good relationship. We are in the communicate. And also my CAO, Shane Cheatham. I mean, he has done a great job with staying in contact with them. He has meetings with them weekly. And, there's keeping them informed is what's so good about it. And he's talking with them. We always have meetings together. So I'm enjoying what's going on now in Bossier with this council. And what I'm still saying, there's going to be some stuff coming, guys.
Exciting things happening like, in Bossier.
Give us a hint. It's
just like I said that one time, the boom. And I mean, so there's going to be the boardwalk is coming back, you know, mm-hmm. and it's coming good. And that's all I can say.
Is Bossier going to give the Rougarou some money?
I think that we've already kind of funded them some, haven't we?
Have they gotten like a discount on the rent at the
that agency that runs it, you know?
But philosophically, you're against giving public money to a for-profit business, I would guess.
Well, I think we have a law that we state that we can't, you know, if somebody's getting that, we can't give it to them. You know?
Okay. But they haven't asked, have they? This year, have they come to y'all and said?
Rougarou?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Not to your knowledge?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
No, ma'am. I mean, and if y'all have been to, the games are exciting there. I mean, I've been to a few of them, and the guys hit each other hard. I mean, they have plenty of excitement. There's not a dull time or dead time going
arena
on.
Arena football it's different from the NFL. They have movement going on before the snap that wouldn't be allowed in the NFL. It's exciting. There's a lot more passing.
It's fast,
there's a lot more scoring in the league. I was PA for the Battle Wings when they were here. And it's an exciting game to watch. It really is.
Absolutely. Boardwalk, let's talk about that again, because I got a question about Bossier this weekend. I was in Bossier with some friends, and somebody asked me about the open container policy that was just passed by the council. I believe maybe at your request, I'm not sure, and said, is that for somebody that they're recruiting to bring in, or is it for somebody that's down there already? And I said, well, I think the Pickler serves alcohol and has a restaurant, so this could be used for the Pickler, but it could also be used to entice others to come in, right?
Yes, ma'am. Once that ordinance passed, phones started ringing. People wanted to come back. And then in Pickler, they're in multiple different buildings so that people can open container from in between buildings and stuff like that at the Pickler. So that's one of the reasons why we got it with the Pickler. There's going to be a certain area, none in the parking lots and stuff like that. It's off of the limits, but it'll be something like the East Bank, what it'll be.
Are you going to have more news? I'm trying to phrase this where it'll make him have to answer it. Let's see. Who's coming next to the boardwalk?
Some good company, a real good company's coming.
Is it somebody I'm going to love?
Yes, ma'am. It's somebody you probably already know.
Ooh. But they sell food?
Yes, ma'am. And there's a lot of entertainment.
20 questions? Food. Entertainment and food.
Yes, ma'am.
So the focus, this is interesting to me, is shifting because, I mean, brick and mortar retail is just diminishing across the country. This has nothing to do with boardwalk property or geographic location. It's just changing.
Right.
Online shopping has changed the world. And so the shift is going to be more entertainment.
Yes, sir.
I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, in Bass Pro, they renewed their contract, their lease. Regal, the movie theater, they're thinking about updating that and putting a lot of money in that also. Justin Hagler down there at Simple Church has helped out tremendously getting this thing back up and waking it up down there. He has done such a great job putting this all together. And also we got, the marketing company and all that we got.
Can you stay with us? Because, of course, we got to talk about the Bossier Arts Council.
I love it.
Okay.
Bossier Mayor Tommy Chandler in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mayor of the great city of Bossier City, Tommy Chandler, joining us in studio, Mike and McCarty. You had a question?
Bossier Arts Council. The council voted to sever ties. The agency has until the end of this month to get out of the building. There were a lot of questions about that. We need more time. How are we going to do this? We don't know if this belongs to the city or if it belongs to us. What's going to be that process? You're not going to be standing at the door with your hand out asking for the key on March 31st, are you?
No, ma'am. Bossier is not against art. We're far. And, you know, because it helps the kids. It helps all the citizens do, you know, it's a whole group of people that it benefits.
And there's a lot more that goes on than just plays up in the theater. I mm-hmm. mean, you work with the school systems.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot more.
No, we're not totally against it. No, you know, just the 31st, we're going to be looking for someone else to take it over for the rest of the year to guide for people to have events in that building. Mm-hmm. We can't use the Arts Council anymore because all that ties have been cut. But we got to have someone in there to keep on the things that are already booked for the rest of the year.
And this will be a city employee.
Yes, ma'am.
Who will come in and run the East Bank scheduling and do all the other art things that are going on.
Yes, ma'am. The Civic Center will be over it right now.
Okay. Yes. And the long-term goal of this, I would assume, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is to get the Bossier Arts Council back in compliance and get them back in the building. Is that your hope?
I hope. If they get everything together and get back, yes, ma'am, that'd be good. Or we have someone that will work it into getting it back together and going again. There's a lot of other ideas that we have with the council, and myself, we've been talking about for the Arts Council, and we're hoping that that's going to come to flourish.
Any discussions about a merger with the Shreveport Regional Arts Council, that one big entity run all the arts for both communities?
I mean, Bossier can take care of itself. I mean,
that's a no.
But there's events that have already been scheduled.
Right.
You know, we don't want to lose.
No, and I would like to have some more theater, you know, some theater stuff down there and, some opera, how some people like to opera and different things and that kind of music and the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's also inclusive of the plaza across the street. That's an underutilized facility as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, they were over that too, taking care of, you know, booking things into that. There's a lot that can happen down there that it's going to happen. We got some ideas on it. And March 31st will start it off.
Mayor Chandler, there are those that I get messages from, and, you know, the social media warriors are like, well, they've already got our $80,000. They got $80,000 for this year. Are we going to have any idea on how they spend that city money for this year?
I don't know if we can audit it or anything like that, but they do have money left over
mm-hmm.
in there. They told us at the last council meeting that they had some money left over. But we're...
Will they have to return any of the money if they're no longer working with the city?
You know, I don't know that legal answer.
I think they're going to have to use some of it for the move, I would assume, huh?
Well, I mean, if they get, I don't know if they can use it for the move. I mean, this is more for the what's happening in the building. So, again, okay. I don't know if
implementation.
I don't know if they can use it for moving.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that money can be left over to help the
come
next,
back?
Yeah.
Come, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I'm sorry that I don't know all the legal.
The council also passed a measure saying from this moment forward, if you're any agency that's not in compliance, you can't get city money. It might impact an agency like the United Way. I assume you support that ordinance they passed.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, if you're not, you know, up to snuff, you can't get. I mean, why give you money if you ain't gonna be able to handle it, or take care of it? You know, so. Bossier City's not against a bunch of, you know, tax-free businesses and stuff like that. We're there to help everybody we can.
This got asked of me. I'm sure it's gotten asked of you. How did we not know they were not in compliance for 3 years? Can you explain that?
I mean, of course, I have so much coming at me. I don't know. I didn't research it every day of their money. Once you give somebody the money, you always say, you know, they're going to take care of it. But after 3 years, it came to audit that they wouldn't. So, I mean, to tell you the truth, I'm sorry that I didn't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other things that, you know, bigger fish I need to be watching after. But my people found it, and they took care of it.
Okay, well, a lot of things that are happening, a lot of exciting things. I know you wish you could share more.
Yes.
But I know with the boardwalk, there's things that are going
to
be happening.
There's a lot of things with boardwalk, and there's exciting. The restaurant Brian is going to go into the Pickler, so you can have a restaurant in pickleball, and there'll be beverages and everything down there.
It's just tough when you know that I can't really talk about this yet, right, because you don't want to violate any trust. And yeah, I understand that's difficult.
Let me give you a kudos real quick, because I saw an incident that involved your Bossier police officers Saturday night. And I'm going to tell you what, to watch professionalism in the face of people that were drinking and that were belligerent. I saw it was a female officer and a male officer, and I was like, kudos. They were calm. They were forceful. And they took care of the problem and got it out of there. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. They did a good job.
Yeah, that brings chills up my back. Because, I mean, I am very, very proud of all our police officers. They do a damn good job. Mm-hmm. And so does the fire department. I am very proud. And it makes me feel so good to be the mayor of a city that I work with people that are, you know, they love their job and mm-hmm. they do their job correctly.
Mayor of Bossier City,
the great city of Bossier.
The great city of Bossier City. And that's the official name, by the way. The city of Bossier City.
Yep, it definitely is.
Tommy, thank you so much.
Appreciate you
coming out and talking to us. Moon Griffon joining us in about 10 minutes, breaking down his Senate debate coming up. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Moon Griffon's got the big debate coming up next month. He joins us to break it down right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Credit.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, host of the Moon Griffon Show, heard 9 to 11 every Monday through Friday here on Keel, Moon Griffon joining us. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We are wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, this is exciting. First of all, tell us the date again of this debate.
The Senate debate.
Supposed to be April 28th. I got tired of watching it, so I came up with a day. I sent out an email to the three candidates, and two of them responded fairly quickly, and the other one hadn't responded yet. So, you know, I'm used to doing interviews. It's a Republican closed primary. I think we're a good place to be. And I'm glad I'm going to have at least two. We still hope Cassidy will come.
So Julia Letlow has committed. Fleming has committed. But you still have not heard from Cassidy or his people on whether or not they're going to be there.
No, they when we emailed them the first time, or texted them the first time, they said his email address, we sent it to him, and they never responded. We're going to send it out again to them. They're more than welcome to come. And the problem is, of course, Tyler Bridges, his advocate, writes a story. Basically, he gives Cassidy an out. I call him a name and all that stuff. So he tried to write an article. I'll go over it today. He basically says Cassidy don't need to go because who I am. But, you know, think about this, Mike. Anybody that would do a debate, any moderator, anybody that would ask questions will have prejudice. They will. If you let LPB ask people, or somebody from a devil's advocate, or somebody from a TV station, everybody's got their own angle. I think I'd probably be more fair to anybody if the truth is not.
Now, are you going to be asking the questions, or are you having other reporters come in and assist?
I'm going to ask questions too, but I am working on a second person to ask questions.
So there,
I actually got somebody from North Louisiana that I may get to do it from a TV station.
Okay.
So there will be another moderator asking questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm not going to. There's no giving of questions, and I think the way we'll do it, we'll ask questions where they all have to answer.
Interesting, because Jeff Sato told us he would expect that Cassidy would require the questions ahead of time.
Well, then Bill Cassidy won't be on then.
So you're not giving anybody the questions? Will you give them topics? Here's the topics we want to discuss?
I'm going to finish formatting it this week, which is really going to be a basic format like we always see on debates. It's going to be a couple-minute open statement, couple-minute closing statement, ask questions, 2 minutes to answer, a minute to respond. We can follow up with questions as well if we choose to. It's really, I'll be honest with you, Aaron, you guys do it every day. Y'all really good at it. I don't know how good I'm at it, but I'm at it. But I'm just going to ask questions, you know, and they can answer however they want to answer them. It's not going to be an innuendo and all that stuff. It's just going to be questions. Look, nobody else has put it together. I got two of the three candidates, and we're going to do this. And be honest with, can I be honest with y'all?
Please do.
Debates are not what they used to be. I've even said this. Not having debates is not a big deal like it was back then. Example, when we do this, it's going to be on a radio live. It's going to be on the internet live. People are going to be able to watch it from their telephones and their computers. I'm going to have the video in there where you can watch them if you like to watch TV. So Bill Cassidy ought to come because you're going to be able to see it. Most people don't watch the debates. It's a morning debate at that. So people are going to have to watch it on different screens or listen to it on the radio. I don't think it's a big deal at all, to be honest with you.
So it's because Cassidy is pushing for three televised debates.
Yeah.
And Letlow has not committed to that, but she has committed to this, and it'll be streamed, so it will be on screens.
Correct.
But now, and I think part of the problem, and as you're well aware, you've been a harsh critic of Senator Cassidy.
Absolutely. And if you go read the newspapers, they've been a harsh critic on some of these candidates as well. Nobody goes back and read it. But let me take y'all back to a little history on debates with Cassidy. When he ran against Mary Landrieu, okay, Mary Landrieu was the one demanding debates. He knew he was going to win that race. He did one. He did one debate. Now he's asking for three, okay? Let's fast forward. He's their term, and y'all very own Shreveport mayor, was his name, Peterson?
Arsenault.
No, not him. The guy Arsenault took the place for Adrian.
Oh, Perkins. Perkins, I'm sorry.
I don't remember his name. But anyway, Perkins begged for debates. Cassidy said no debates. And then Bill Cassidy jumped up and said, I'll do a debate only if all 14 candidates are on the stage. So here's a guy who never wanted to debate, but he's getting really beat bad right now. He wants three debates. So you see, it's kind of funny. Everybody's worried about me, and I've been a critic, and I've been harsh on him, which is true. He deserved every bit of it, by the way. Everybody's worried about that part, but what about Cassidy's history of not wanting to debate to now? And so I just think we ought to put this in perspective. It's a Republican-closed primary. Now, I would agree with y'all, if this was a primary with Democrats and Republicans, you know, you may not want to do it on the Moon Gavon show, but being all Republicans, I don't see the problem.
Okay, when's the last time Cassidy's been on your show?
It was before the year he ran when Bush, in 2020.
And you've asked him back.
He ran. He came on the program many times. He won. Soon as he voted guilty on Trump, he never came back. So that would be 5 years.
Yeah, he's been invited.
Okay, let me get back.
Has he been invited since
yes,
then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Let me get back. So back a couple of years ago, I got a call from their people. I got it in my phone still in a text message. Hey, Cassidy wants to come in. Let's get this right. He wants to come and talk. He wants to go through all this hell with Trump. Would you be in for it? I said, absolutely. I said, he can come, but he's got to come an hour, and he's got to sit in the studio. He's got to come. They said, no problem. We'll set it up. And it faded away. I said, y'all going to come? It faded away. Last September, I got a call from a buddy of mine and said, I got it set up. He's going to come for an hour, just like he wanted to, in studio. I said, great. We started announcing it. The 2 days before he was supposed to come, they called and went, oh, he's busy, got something else to do. Can he just call in for 10 minutes? I said, no, he needs to come for an hour. He had been on this program in 4 years. Mm. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I want him to come sit down and look me eye to eye. And so they said, and then they got mad at me, because I wouldn't take a quick phone call. But y'all know the phone calls don't go boom, 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 it's over, and nobody gets something done. Right. So no, come 7 hours.
Yeah, it goes by very fast.
But how are you going to be fair with someone you call Psycho Bill?
How can I be fair? All I'm going to do is ask questions. I'm going to have somebody else asking questions as well. I will refer to Bill Cassidy as Senator Cassidy. I've also said if they wanted to meet with me first, I'd be glad to meet with them.
So you're not going to call him Psycho Bill during, no plans to call him Psycho Bill during
no,
the debate?
No, not. Absolutely. Not in a debate like this. No. Now, if he had came and do an interview with me, I would have told him that because I'd have let him respond to my face. I'd have been blunt. Everybody that I've given a nickname that's come on the program, I've let him respond.
I'm sure he's got a nickname for you. I'm sure he does.
Here's the difference between the names they have for me. I can say theirs on the air. They can't say mine on the air. How about that?
Have you given them a deadline on when to respond, or you?
I didn't give them a deadline at all. No, I did not do that. And besides, this is childish for him to call Letlow out for not wanting to debate. Then when we have a debate with a conservative guy and another Republican that are going to interview him, and all we're going to talk about is the issues. We're not going to talk about what we have a disagreement with. I've watched Republicans go on debates time and time again, and y'all have too, where TV reporters were absolutely rear-ends to him. And nobody ever said, but here comes Moon, who's got a nickname for a guy, and all of a sudden, he's upset about it. I don't feel bad about it. None of them have to come.
Will one of the questions be about his vote to impeach President Trump?
That's one of the things. I don't know if I'll ask it or not because I hadn't gotten to the Q&A for him. I've always said Cassidy would ever come by and tell us why he voted guilty. Because after he voted guilty, and I got it on tape, he said, if y'all knew what I knew, and y'all don't, we know more than y'all, y'all going to come around the way my way of thinking, because when you see what I saw, you're going to find out I voted the right way. Now, he said that. I didn't.
He's answered that on our show at least four times, and we get in trouble for not asking him it anymore. But we've asked him it four times, and he's answered it. And his answer's been the same every time, that he truly believed he was guilty, and that's why he did it.
Guilty of what? I've always said, I understand he voted guilty, but guilty of what? I've never heard him say, what was he guilty of?
I'll send it to you. I don't have it in my brain at the moment, but I have his answer to that, and he explains it. I don't know that I agree with it. I'm like you. I don't know that I agree with him.
So let me ask y'all questions. As I get scrutinized as the guy hosting the program, a guy votes guilty. He never tells us why. He was for Donald Trump. He won. He was against Donald Trump for 4 or 5 years. He said Donald Trump will never be president. I won't vote for Donald Trump. Donald Trump should drop out of the race. Donald Trump wins the race, and now every commercial he runs is pro-Trump. Now, and I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all something. Bill Cassidy has to look in the mirror to find out his problem. It ain't with Moon. I can't beat him. I didn't make him. I can't break him. A nickname is nothing. I'll make him a deal. I won't call him. I'll call him Sir and Mister, and he can call me any nickname in the book he wants during the debate, and I don't care.
Well, they've got a month to decide.
Yep.
Well, absolutely. I have no deadline. If they call me the night before and say, we're coming, he's going to have a spot. We're going to put a spot there for him. Now, I won't embarrass him if he don't come. I'll just move the podium and move it out of the way, and we'll do it with the two people.
Setting up the logistics about how long they each have to respond, and will they get to ask each other questions?
I'm trying to get all that in writing now.
Okay.
This week I'm going to do that to where it's set, but it's going to be no different than any other format.
Okay.
Because remember, if you're doing it on radio, that's one thing. The other thing is, if you're going to do it with cameras and it's going to be on the internet, okay, all that's got to be professional. I'm not coming across here as the guy trying to take it over. I just want to hear what the answers are to some good questions.
Gotcha.
Where's it going to be? Not in the studio, then.
Well, what we're going to do is we got a couple options. One of them is we have a big, big conference room. We're not doing this with our audience. We're going to allow the press to come in, but we're going to do it. And it's not going to be a gigantic room, so you're not going to be panning the crowd here. But I probably can't do it in my studio. I really could. If I only have two people, we've got 4 or 5 mics. I really could, but from a logistics point of view and cameras, no, it makes it a little difficult.
We got plenty of room. You can do it in our studio. We got plenty of mics here if you want to move it up here.
Your studio is a lot bigger than what we use here. I thought about that, thought about Baton Rouge as well, but I'm hoping to keep it here. But we're going to get all that worked out this week. And like I said, I hope Cassidy will come. As far as y'all saying what you call it names and all that stuff, I get it. But he had 6 years to come and talk to me about this, and he never did. He never did. And he kept going on national TV blasting the man. So there's a lot of people frustrated. I think he's in deep trouble. That's why he's demanding debates that he wouldn't do in the first two runs he made.
U.S. Senate debate going to be April 28th, 9 to 11. And yes, we are looking forward to it.
Man, okay.
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope we pull it off, and I hope we do, but we're planning on it anyway.
Yep. Thank you, Moon.
Thank y'all as always.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You'd have been proud of me yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do?
Turned on the city council works. I know.
Oh, look at you.
And it was, wow, there were some sparks flying.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about funding for the North Market Substation Domestic Violence Center. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a family...
Family Justice Center. They were promised that early on, but that has not come to fruition. So they're making it a domestic violence center where folks can go for protective orders and to get information about what they how to get help. Family Justice Center would be much more comprehensive, and we don't have room there. There's only two rooms available, apparently. What I don't understand is the city council is considering a measure to give the sheriff $125,000.
Wait, the city council?
Yeah.
Not the Caddo Parish Commission?
No.
Sheriff, not the Shreveport Police.
Right, right. And the money would come from the Shreveport Police budget, is the way I understood it. And it would go to the sheriff.
But it's the sheriff.
Who apparently would be running the domestic violence center. In coordination, it sounded like, with Project Celebration. I'm not sure. We don't know all the deets yet. But I'm not sure why the commission isn't part of this.
Wasn't it Grayson Butcher that said Project Celebration, he wasn't going to back that?
Right. And I was just looking at the latest audit of Project Celebration, and I'm going to quote because I wrote it down. The quote in the audit says, "Substantial doubt about ability to continue as a going concern. Their cash at the end of the year was negative $54,000.
Oh, gosh.
So now they get grants from the state, and sometimes those are late coming in. I understand that. But they have some issues. My problem is that this $125,000, part of it, more than half of it, or half of it or so, would fund an executive director or somebody to run the domestic violence center. Is that going to be an employee? If we're spending the city money on it, is it an employee of the city? Is it an employee of the sheriff?
Yeah, why is it going to the sheriff?
And the sheriff has way more money than the city.
Nothing against the sheriff, no. But this is city funding.
Right.
For a city substation.
And taking money out of our police budget at a time when we're not rolling in cash, folks. We're not rolling.
A lot of questions.
Did the mayor approve this? Is the mayor okay with this? Who's gonna manage this employee that's being paid with our money, with Shreveport money? We got a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get in touch with the mayor.
We're trying.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Those grits must be good, that's all I can say.
He might still be asleep.
Must be compelling.
Yeah.
I wanted to also, we didn't get to a very disturbing story.
I know. I can't believe we missed it.
Last week we got a report, the base is shut down. Nobody knew why.
No, it was March 9th, so it's been more than a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody knew why.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out later, it was a drone. It's just a drone over the airspace. No big deal. Well, it turns out it was much, much more than just a drone you can buy on Amazon and some guy going, "Hey, look at me, I'm flying over." No, there were multiple incursions, multiple days of multiple drones.
Right.
12 to 14.
And these were some specialty drones.
And these were not just drones you can buy on Amazon.
No.
They were big. I had a friend said one time, he told me, we were talking about this, and he said, we had a shoot, meaning a commercial shoot, mm-hmm. video shoot, near Barksdale, not over Barksdale. We were going to do a drone shot of the client.
Right.
He goes, we couldn't even get the drone in the air.
Whoa.
Because of jamming.
Wow.
Barksdale jams drones so they can't fly over the airspace. Aaron, these drones were non-jammable. Yeah. There was some major technology taking place invading U.S. military airspace.
A serious airbase, as we all know.
Oh, absolutely.
Do we know who they were? Do we know? Are they not saying?
Well, they're not saying.
I'm sure they know. Did we shoot them down? Did we capture them? Surely we didn't let them get away with their drones.
I think they did.
They let them get away. We didn't shoot any down.
Because I don't know.
I'm hearing we captured a couple of them, but I may be wrong.
Did we?
I'm hearing that. I don't know that it's true or not, but
I hope so.
They're keeping it quiet. They're not saying.
And you know, to a degree, I understand that. When it comes to the military, we don't have a right to know everything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's disturbing.
We would like to know who sent the drones.
Absolutely.
Was it Russia? Was it China? Was it some radical in this country? We don't know.
Was it Iran?
Right. Who is it? And we locked our Air Force base down for much of a morning.
Right.
Where people were told to stay home. And I asked some folks I know who work at the base and said, how does that message go out to you? How are you mm-hmm. told don't come to work? And they said, it's kind of like, you know how you get weather alerts on your phone when there's a tornado warning? It just goes out to your phone.
Right.
They have a system like that goes out to Barksdale folks. That's not a group text or anything like that. It's just one of those special groups that gets the message, and they get the message. Hey, base is on lockdown. Nobody coming or going. Shelter in place. Our phones started blowing up when it happened.
Right.
I reached out to the
base spokesperson, and I just got kind of the stock response. We're investigating this incident. Blah,
right.
Blah, no details, no information, really.
It's kind of scary, Mike.
It's very scary.
On multiple days, there are these high-tech drones flying over a base that, I mean, quite frankly, we know has nuclear weapons.
Right. And they've said these drones were the reports I saw, these drones were flying over, quote, sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember as a kid, and we've talked about this, I had friends that I went to school with, because I grew up in Bossier, went to school with, who lived on base.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could go on base and, hey, I'm going to see Billy. Okay.
Yeah.
You wave to the guys at the gate. And we knew when we, you know, hung out on base and roamed the base and went to the pool. And there were areas you did not go to.
Right.
There were fences that you didn't climb.
Yeah.
Because there were no questions asked, you'd get shot down.
Right, exactly.
And apparently, these drones were over those places.
Oh, man.
So this is scary.
It really is frightening. And part of the report I saw, maybe it was on ABC, I'm not sure, said that they believe the people operating these drones were testing the U.S. military to see what the response would be.
Testing our response. That's mm-hmm. right. That's what I heard.
What will they do if we fly these drones over these sensitive bases? So is it going to happen at other bases, at Pendleton?
Is it happening at other bases?
Right. Has it? And we just haven't heard about it.
Right.
You know, the word got out at Barksdale because so many people were involved and were told to stay home. Who flew the drones? Did we catch any of them? Did we shoot any of them down? I don't think they're ever going to tell us that, but it was kind of scary. Kind of scary to hear the news after we were thinking it was one drone. Now we're realizing it was multiple day after day incursions.
It kind of reminded me of 9/11, because the very first report I remember of this is one of those you'll never forget where you were moments.
Yeah.
As the generation before us with JFK assassination. And I remember I was in my studio at Channel 3, and one of the girls from accounting walked by my studio. Hey, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. I'm afraid that was all we knew.
Sure.
A pilot lost consciousness of a Cessna and flew into the... you could see it happening. And it wasn't until later when we discovered it was something horrible. And that's kind of what this reminded me of. Oh, a drone flew over Barksdale. Oh, and some guy was out there goofing off and accidentally flew his drone. But again, those drones don't get over our airspace because they get jammed. These weren't able to be jammed.
That's incredible. It really is. It's kind of scary. Kind of scary. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get some more information.
Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt about it.
Bill Cassidy, Senator, going to be joining us in about 20 minutes. He's got legislation to, I don't want to say insider trading, but banning Congress from trading, members of Congress from trading stocks while they're in office, which I think is a good idea.
We'll also ask him, is he going to show up for Moon's debate?
That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
.1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Said there's new water meters.
I didn't realize. I was digging into that 2024 audit of the Water and Sewer Department that I told you yesterday about.
This is fun for you.
Yeah, I know. So I started digging into it yesterday, and I got to a point in it where it talked about, and this was, it was released in December of 24, so it is a little bit old, but there was a statement from the city saying that the smart meters, over the next 2 years, we will be replacing all our meters with AMI, which is the smart meters, which record and send the meter usage to the department. This technology will allow us to immediately recognize unauthorized water consumption in real time. So I asked...
Unauthorized water consumption.
Mm-hmm. Like if somebody connects to your faucet and starts running water and you don't realize it until it's too late, till you get the bill, it'll notice, hey, your water's running when you're normally not home, and you'll be able to get alerted to it. So I sent some questions in to the city to find out.
How do you not know somebody's got a hose hooked up to your spigot?
If you're not there. Like right now, somebody could turn on my carport water.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Right now,
water their lawn,
wash their car,
or whatever they want. Okay, I got you.
Which has been done before at my house, but not my current neighbors. I'm just saying. I asked how many water meters in Shreveport have been replaced, and they replied about 62,000 of 75,000.
Okay, so they're almost finished.
What neighborhoods have been done? Installations were not formally categorized by neighborhood, but city officials will try to get a map to show where the installations have occurred. What percentage of the city has yet to be done? They only have about 17% yet to be done, and the work is expected to be complete by August of 2026. Now, the audit did show that internal controls need to be improved, ranging from billing to collections to customer service. The audit found billing errors and inconsistencies in documentation and classification, leading to inaccurate charges. They also found some inconsistencies on when your water got turned off and some people's bills were left, you know, some people's water service was left on when yours or mine would have been turned off.
Right.
So they have put systems in place to correct that. And as we saw in my report that I published last week, they've made huge headway in those accounts that were in such great arrears, mm-hmm. more than $10,000, where we had dozens back in 24. We now have about 11 that owe more than $10,000. So they've made great progress. They've made strides on billing. They've made strides on customer service. But the report was real in many, many places in it. And this was kind of disturbing to me. It's because it called for training in a lot of areas. And the management response was, training is difficult with our high turnover because those jobs are not high paid. And they have high turnover.
Somebody, the water meter readers?
The meter readers, the people that work for the water and sewer department, everybody.
So the guys that like pull that metal cover off to read your meter and then don't put it back on right? So
Yeah.
So those guys aren't going to have a job anymore.
Apparently, mine's not been done yet. In fact, my plumber was there the other day and he said, your meter needs replacing. It took me 20 minutes to turn your water off and I have the right tools. There's no way you would turn your water off. If you had an emergency, you could not turn it off at that meter.
See, I've got one of those water keys. I can turn my water off.
It took him 20 minutes with his key to turn mine off. It was so messed up in there.
Huh.
So he said, you need a new meter quickly. So I have requested, and you know, they said we're on a schedule. Right. We're coming to you. You're step 11 or whatever it is. But there are some that are so old that they need replacing immediately. But they are making progress. They should be done by August of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll stay on top of it and make sure in August, are you done? What's left to do? And is it helping? Have you had to fire meter readers or mm-hmm. moved them to other positions? That's what they're end up going to do because of the high attrition throughout the department. They'll move the meter readers into other positions.
What other positions would you move?
Oh, you have customer service. You have people that go out and make repairs. You have, you know, you have a lot of different water and sewer people that work at the plant, the water plants.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff. So,
okay.
We'll keep you posted. Definitely.
Senator Bill Cassidy joining us in about 10 minutes talking about new legislation. And will he be on the debate with Moon Griffon? We'll find out. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
We got a message. How does a city of 150,000 people only have 75,000 meters? Well, because more than one people living in a house.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Because I kind of ask the same thing. It's like, wait, we only have 75,000 meters?
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised at that as well.
Right. And you have a master meter at apartment complexes. You know,
right.
That may have.
Yeah.
You know, that may have hundreds of residents,
which we know is not a good idea.
Not a good idea. Yeah, they're working on solutions for that.
If I were a tenant, I would not want a master meter.
No, not anymore. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, let me be responsible for my own bills.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem though, because that's the way most of them do it. And I don't know if they're breaking even or not. You know, whatever they add to the rent for water, it has to go up as the city's rates have gone up, I would imagine.
On the Shreveport Security Systems message board, Pop says, first, that's not how the meters work to determine if someone hooks up to an unauthorized user.
Okay.
Second, lying bill is coming on. I'm tuning out. I'll listen tomorrow.
Bye.
Okay, Pop.
Bye.
Sorry, buddy.
Senator Cassidy is coming up next.
He's a sitting U.S. senator.
Yeah. We're just going to ignore him, I know. And he's answered the question over and over again about his Trump vote, his Trump impeachment vote. But he's struggling. He's in a fight right now.
He is in a fight. That's right.
Mm-hmm. He wants to talk about his legislation on insider trading. I wonder why he wants to talk about that today.
Yeah. Is there an opponent that's mentioned?
Save Act is on his agenda today. He also wants to talk about funding for Homeland Security. So he's got a lot of things. We're going to ask him if he's showing up for the debate, too.
That's coming up next. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy joining us. Senator, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Michael and Aaron. How are y'all? Good.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. You've got legislation pending to address insider trading. Actually, it affects members of Congress. Explain what this legislation will do.
Right now, it is legal for a member of Congress to trade individual stocks, even if the company involved has presented before their subcommittee, before their committee. Now, I sit on committees. You get information sent to you that is kind of curated from everything. Some of it is, you know, not for public consumption. Some of it is market moving. And so right now, if you haven't noticed, people don't trust Congress to do the right thing. One way to restore that trust is to say, wait a second. If you're on a committee, or even if you just have in Congress, you should not be able to trade individual stocks. Yes, a mutual fund, but not an individual stock. Obviously, it's an issue in my Senate campaign. Congresswoman Letlow has done very well doing these individual stocks, some of which have become before her subcommittees. But it's bigger than that. It's how do we restore the faith of the American people in Congress? And this is a step towards doing that.
Well, Nancy Pelosi would go, I didn't trade, but my husband did.
Yeah, and I guess they didn't sleep together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, point is that people can pass on information very easily. And that's just not right.
Would it ban spouses also?
So it is for family members as well. And so kind of a group effort, if you will. And so we're trying to look at that sort of loophole that would, oh, yeah, I'm staying within the law. But in reality, you're not staying within the law. Well, not the spirit of the law.
Senator Cassidy, let's ask you the hot topic around here right now. Moon Graffon hosting a debate. Letlow and Fleming will be there. Will you be there?
I can't be there. That said, you know, having a debate on, I have proposed three TV debates, one of which is in Shreveport. When it's in prime time, having a debate in the mid-morning when people are at work, at school, or taking their children to school is a little bit like a Joe Biden strategy of campaigning. You know, hide in his basement and hope that nobody notices.
He says it's going to be televised. He says it's going to be on the internet. People can go back and watch it later.
Yeah, absolutely you can. And who's going to do that? How many times have you gone back and watched an episode of Keel later on in the day? Maybe you do, but like as great as y'all are and as much listeningship as you have, it's just not going to happen.
Well, we do have a message I've been looking at right now. Will there be a way to watch the debate afterwards? There are people that are interested that do want to, that will watch it after.
I'm sure there will be. And you tell me, are there going to be more people who watch it afterwards or more people who would watch it if it was on a televised debate when it's like 6 or 7 p.m. in the evening? Now, there's no comparison there. Again, this is the Joe Biden strategy of debate. You hide in your basement, you hope nobody notices. Reality is there should be a televised debate with as much broadcast as possible so that the people of Louisiana can see questions answered, you know, compare records, who's accomplished a lot, who's accomplished, you know, frankly, nothing, who's worked hard for the good of the state, I have, who's worked hard for the good of their stock portfolio. Well, we've already talked about Ms. Letlow.
Would you join Ms. Letlow and Congress and Treasurer Fleming in a televised debate?
Absolutely. That's what I've been calling for. That's what I've been saying. We should be here to serve the American people, to serve the people of Louisiana. And the way you serve them best is to make yourself most accessible. And so most accessible in our day and age means a television interview at prime time.
But when Adrian Perkins ran against you, you wouldn't debate him. What's changed?
It's clearly a different debate. At that time, I was like 20 points ahead. In this debate, we're all kind of a little bit closer. And so, I mean, like, you know, it's two different elections. And so clearly the people of Louisiana had already spoken in that race.
So I just want to be clear. You are not going to attend the debate with Moon Graffon.
No, I'm going to I'm going to be hoping that Congresswoman Letlow will acknowledge that the people of Louisiana deserve a debate which is not the equivalent of hiding out in Joe Biden's basement, but a debate which is on prime time on TV, in which she can explain. If she thinks I've been unfair about her stock trades, then she should have the opportunity to express that. If she wants to say, you know, why she's not passed a single bill in Congress and compare that to the dozens that I've practiced, that I've passed, that President Trump has signed into law, then she should have an opportunity to do that. But again, that's not hiding out in the basement of Joe Biden's.
Senator Cassidy, let me ask you, you said that the Perkins race was different. You were clearly way ahead. Are you struggling right now? Are you fighting?
No. Well, put it this way. You're running the race every time like you just got to make up ground. But that said, latest poll has me beating Ms. Letlow. And beating John Fleming. And so, but on the other hand, you don't take it for granted. And so the issue in this debate, which is a Republican primary, which, by the way, let me just say, is May 16th. And if you're a Democrat who's been voting Republican for a while, you're not going to be able to vote unless you change to no party or Republican, which you can do very easily if you go to geauxvote.com. govote.com. So otherwise, you're not going to be able to vote. Let me just say that. And we just need to air this out so that all those voters, every voter, has a chance to hear each candidate explain their record and to explain, okay, I've been criticized for this. Let me explain that. I think that's the way to go.
Where are we on getting the Department of Homeland Security back open? That is a problem.
Yes, there is a incredible... the word on the street here, the word in the Senate chamber last night, was that there's a deal that's about to happen. Now, it should have been open 6 weeks ago, but Democrats just had to prove, by golly, they were going to fight President Trump, that by golly, they were just not going to roll over. So instead, we waited 6 weeks. We've got all these American people inconvenienced, a lot of our fellow Americans who work for FEMA or TSA not getting paid, and for a deal that we could have had 6 weeks ago. But I do think there's a deal about to be made, and at which point, hopefully, things turn back to normal and people's bank accounts aren't irreparably damaged.
Do you think this confirmation of Mark Wayne Mullen as DHS secretary will help facilitate the reopening?
I think it will. Well, one, the reopening could have happened 6 weeks ago. But I do think that Mark Wayne, who's got management skills, a very successful businessman, who has got good relations with Senate and congressional Democrats. He's got the credibility to go to them and say, listen, this is what I'm trying to do. Give me a little bit of time. I think he's got that ability. I think he's going to help tremendously at that department.
Senator Bill Cassidy, thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you both.
You bet.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You heard it here first. He will not be at the debate.
Doesn't like the timing, 9 to 11 in the morning. Not enough people will be able to watch or listen.
Biden's basement, apparently.
Yeah, even though Moon's promised to put it online and it'll be available to watch online, video of it, et cetera. Moon's going to send us a statement here in just a couple of minutes. You know, his disappointment. I'm sure he's disappointed that the senator is not going to show up. It sounds like the senator realizes he's in a fight.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Okay, the telling statement. He wouldn't debate Perkins because, quote, I'm 20 points ahead.
Why do it?
Now he wants to debate.
He's not 20 points ahead, that's for sure.
20 points ahead, and he knows it.
Yeah, he knows it. At the time, in the Perkins race, he wanted all 14 candidates that were on the ballot to be there. You can't do that. You just can't logistically do that in a debate.
You'd have one question.
Right. Everybody answers one question.
An hour and a half later, we're finished.
You.
Yeah. Thank you. Good night.
Get your popcorn. We're done. So, yeah, you can't do that. That was unrealistic. He should have probably debated Perkins at least once and given him a shot for his platform. Didn't do it. Didn't show up at any of the forums. And wasn't available. Now he's wanting debates. He's wanting three. He wants them televised. He wants them in the evening. He wants them to be statewide. Moon's going to televise it in terms of Moon will have it available on video.
Right.
And I'm sure he's getting a TV reporter to come in and ask questions. I'm sure that TV station will air it and make it available to their affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different game for Senator Cassidy this time, sounds like.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised. I really would have thought he would have been there.
Now. Mikey.
I'm
somebody
surprised.
That for 2 years has been calling you Psycho Mike.
No,
are you gracing their room? I mean, I don't know that I'd grace their room. I mean, I love Moon, don't get me wrong. But you've been bashing him.
Right.
And he's going to do you a favor and show up in Lafayette 9 to 11 in the morning, you know, a few weeks before the primary election.
But if I knew I had a fight on my hands and I had the opportunity to get my message out.
You'd go to a hostile room? You know that's going to be a hostile room for you. You know it. I don't care what Moon says. It's going to be a hostile room. Moon's been critical, highly critical of him.
You can turn that into your favor, though. If you play it right, you can turn that into your favor. You can actually garner sympathy.
You could. You could turn it on.
If you play it right.
Oh, Moon, can you please give me a break today for a minute? You could do that.
I'm surprised that he's not going to go. And there are others who go, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
I get it.
And, you know, at some point he and Moon, you know, if he were to win reelection, he and Moon need to kiss and make up. He's the sitting U.S. senator.
But see, that
he needs to be on Moon's show. He needs to come on
and
face the critics and, you know, listen to the complaints. And, you know, when he comes on Moon's show, like when he does on ours, we have listeners who say, I'm tuning out.
Right.
Don't want to hear him.
Right.
Moon will have the same thing. He's coming on your show. I'm tuning out. Don't want to hear him. But, you know, Moon has pledged to be fair and, you know, treat him right. Not call him names during the debate.
Moon told us, call him U.S. Senator.
Yep.
Senator Cassidy. I'm not going to call him Psycho Bill.
But if I'm his people and I'm advising him, I'm not letting him in that room.
Really?
I'm not letting him in that room.
See, I have a different tact, I guess.
I know. We disagree, but I'd be like, dude, he's going to go off on you at some point. You know he's going to go off on you. A, he's not going to give you the questions ahead of time.
Right.
You know, B, we don't even know if we're going to have the topics ahead of time yet.
Because when Cassidy says something and Moon's going to go, oh, come on now, you know, and he's going to get after him. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, he'll get after him. Yeah, there's no doubt he'll get after him. And the senator staff knows that. Trust me, they know that. They know Moon's going to be prepared. Moon's going to have all his votes in front of him. He's going to know exactly what he's done. And Moon will jump on him. Moon's not afraid to do that.
Apparently so.
I'm not going in the room where I'm being called Psycho Bill for 3 years. Sorry. I love you, Moon, but I'm not coming in your room.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. I'm just surprised. I'm honestly surprised. I get it.
I hope they have a debate. I really do hope they have a debate.
That's what I'm wondering next.
Will Letlow agree to anything after this? I don't know. She needs to. But again, if she's 20 points ahead, she could use his own words against him. I'm 20 points ahead. Why would I debate you?
Right.
Use his own words.
Yeah.
I'm slaughtering you.
That was telling.
That was. It really was.
I didn't need to debate. I was 20 points ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us coming up just after the local news about this funding for the Domestic Violence Center on North Market Substation.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yep.
A lot of questions. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault joining us, Mayor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Sparks flew yesterday at the city council work session, mostly concerning the funding, $125,000 coming from the city, but it's going to be going to the sheriff to operate staff. Shouldn't that funding come from the Caddo Parish Commission?
Well, of course, the sheriff has his own budget, so I'm not sure where it ought to come from. But some members of the council felt strongly that there needed to be a robust domestic violence center, and more robust than they believed was going to be possible at the North Market substation. And so they met with the sheriff and came up with a plan, apparently.
Would this be a city employee? Would these be city employees if it's city money funding them?
As I understand it, I haven't seen the plan, but as I understand it, this would be a contractual obligation of the city to the sheriff, and that and whether those would be sheriff's office employees or other employees, I do not know.
Do you support this idea?
I don't oppose it. I don't know enough about it to support it or oppose it, but I don't oppose it. I think that we do have a serious domestic violence problem, and it deserves a serious response.
Should you have been in on the planning of this? I mean, you and the sheriff sit down, or you and the council member sit down and go, hey, this is an idea. What do you think about it? I mean, I think they left you out of the process, and I'm not sure why. You should have been involved, I think. You agree?
Well, that would have been the optimum way to approach it, yes.
Taking the $125,000 out of the police equipment fund is what I read in the legislation. These are ongoing expenses. This is for employee salaries. Would we every year be taking this money from that fund? Is that what we would end up doing?
Well, I think that's part of the questions that I guess I'll have to answer when I look at the plan.
Bad idea to take money from our equipment budget?
What happens in year two?
Right.
What happens in year three?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, these are ongoing funding needs.
Correct. And
again, I just have questions about the city funding parish activities. I mean, if it's going to be sheriff running that, it should. I think that those fundings should come from the sheriff budget.
That's certainly a valid point of view.
Also, is Project Celebration going to be involved in this domestic violence center? That came up yesterday. Do we know anything yet?
I do. In terms of what they're planning with the $125,000, I think the answer to that is a clear no. Whether Project Celebration should be involved in other aspects that may be ancillary to this, I don't know.
Because I'll read you from the latest audit that was released earlier this month regarding Project Celebration, and I'm quoting, substantial doubt about ability to continue as a going concern. It kind of rings true of the Bossier Arts Council. This is an entity that's got some financial struggles. They had a cash at the end of the year of negative $54,000. If this is going to be run by Project Celebration, I would have some serious questions. I guess you would, too.
Well, I can tell you that in terms of the cooperative endeavor agreement that's proposed with the sheriff, I feel certain that they will not be involved. The question is what role, if any, will Project Celebration have? And, I haven't seen the audit. And so I don't know. I have not had any discussions with Project Celebration.
Well, I heard Grayson Butcher say yesterday, if Project Celebration was involved, he is a no.
I heard him clearly say that.
Why hadn't you seen the plan? Do you know who dropped the ball? Why the mayor wasn't included?
I really don't know. Certainly the council has the prerogative to propose items, and I respect that. I do think this is one that I should have been involved in. I had one meeting with Grayson Butcher, who told me he had an idea, but he wasn't ready to disclose it to me.
They could finally act on it today? Is that accurate? Is it a two-reader?
Right, yes.
So what do you spend the day today trying to get information? What are you looking for? What do you need to know?
I don't need to know anything until it's passed.
And then you have to decide if you veto it or not, I guess.
Or what I do with it.
Right. Do you have concerns about spending money on a program that you won't have any control over?
I don't know how we're going to have some contractual obligations on the part of the sheriff. So I'm not sure that I would say I won't have any control over it. I have always have concerns about programs that I have not been involved in or advised about.
Hmm. All right. It's interesting.
Very, very interesting. Still a lot of questions.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good work, by the way, on getting the smart meters in. I was glad to see that y'all are way ahead of schedule and only have about 17% of the city left. Thank you for that. I'm still waiting on mine, though, so get them over there, please.
Well, you're in the 17%. Maybe they couldn't pass over Ninth Street.
Yeah, maybe that could be it, too. Yeah, they're still working on Ninth Street. Don't get me started on that
really
one.
I don't know the answer to that question, Aaron, but I couldn't help a little dig.
I appreciate that. Thank you a bunch. It'll be done in a month, I'm told. We'll see.
Great.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Shreveport sure Mayor not. Tom Arsenault, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Phones are blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
Council work session. When I turned it on, I did see, of course, John Glover. Right there in the front row.
Oh, I love John Glover.
Bless her heart. I love it.
She did text me this morning. She says there's too much cloak and dagger with this effort. I got text yesterday saying it looked like they cut this deal kind of behind the scenes, not in front of the cameras.
Talk about the council.
Yeah, council members got together perhaps with the sheriff or somebody at the sheriff's office and worked all this out. Behind closed doors, and then came forward. Like you heard the mayor say, Grayson Butcher said he had a plan, but didn't tell him what it was.
And obviously didn't include the mayor in the plan.
Why?
Well, you'd have to ask somebody else.
I'm trying to think of that motivation. Why would you not include the mayor? Why wouldn't you get him on board and say, hey, we need to stop domestic violence. Is it because you're all in elections and led the charge. I mean, Grayson's not in an election, but I led the charge for this domestic violence center. So the mayor can't take credit for it? I mean, come on now. What do you care about most, stopping domestic violence or your freaking campaign and being the one, I'm the one who did this?
It just brings to mind my philosophy. It's always better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that they need permission from the mayor, but
I just get a little bent when we're taking money from our police department equipment fund.
Exactly.
And putting it into a budget that is recurring expenses, employees. So next year, where are we going to get this money?
That's not going to be overseen. Is that a word? Overseen by the city.
Well, the mayor said it's a cooperative endeavor agreement. They'll have some sort of say-so, but it sounds like the money's going to go to the sheriff.
Right.
So the sheriff will either run the program or contract it out with somebody. And the name Project Celebration came up yesterday. Well, they're struggling right now. That agency's struggling. They're in compliance with the state. Don't get me wrong. So they're not out of compliance. But they are having some financial struggles.
You said they're negative $50,000 right now.
At the end of the year, they were negative $50,000, according to the latest audit that was released earlier this month. It's pretty fresh. So now state dollars, I know state grant dollars, sometimes they come in late, sometimes they're unpredictable. So I get that. And they get a lot of their funding from grant dollars. I noticed that audit, though, showed they do no fundraising. Zero. The zero fundraising dollars. I wonder why that's the case. You're a nonprofit that helps domestic violence victims. You ought to have some big event to help raise money for your agency. And I'd be happy to help. You know, I mean, they may not want me, but I'd be happy to help. If you want to do a bingo fundraiser, whatever, bunko, I don't care what it is. If y'all want to start an annual event to help raise money, I'm down. I'll do whatever I have to do.
Well, I can tell you the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana, it's a total nonprofit, operates 100% on volunteers and donations and fundraising. And we do constant fundraising.
Yes.
They just had a golf tournament last weekend. We've got a bingo coming up. We've got a dog wash coming up. How do they not have fundraisers?
I don't understand that. I really don't. And I'm going to inquire more about that. Why aren't they doing fundraisers? And it may be that they have limited staff. I mean, because their budget is so tight, they may have limited staff right now. They may not be able to do that. But that's when you bring in your board of directors, and then you bring in your volunteers.
Volunteers,
people
exactly.
that care about domestic violence and fight. They're all over this city. I could name you 20 people right now that would step up and help.
And who would be opposed to fundraising to combat domestic violence?
Nobody.
Right.
There's nobody that's going to say, nah, I don't believe in that cause. I love domestic violence.
Right.
I think everybody should beat each other up. Nobody's saying that. That ain't going to happen. But it's a problem in our city. It's one of the few crimes that continues to grow and continues to see increases. And it's not just spouse against spouse. It's kids against parents. It's parents against children. It's brother against stepfather. It's all kinds of stuff. Any kind of intimate relationship in the household is classified as domestic violence, and it's rampant. And we're not the only city experiencing it. It's a problem. It's a problem.
And it's also one of the most dangerous calls police officers respond to. You're going into a violent situation, a caustic situation, and it can turn ugly very quickly.
You bet, absolutely, and it has happened. I've seen it happen. Spent 5 years working in this, I've
Same
seen it.
Year.
I've seen it get violent, and there's no doubt about it. But we really need to know a little bit more about who's going to pay for this ongoing $125,000.
Right. It's not a one-time. It's not a one-time donation expense. These are salaries for staff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're going to need to be paid every year.
Absolutely. Has the sheriff pledged he'll pick it up after the first year? Y'all kick in the first year. I'll pick it up the next year, or I'll ask the Caddo Commission for it the following year. And it's just a budget amendment now to get it off the ground and going.
And the mayor didn't have the answer to that question either.
No.
He wasn't clued in on the plan.
He was not clued in. So it's a question. A final vote could happen today. So we'll see. Would the mayor veto it? Should he veto it? I don't know.
And we will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I saw a report. Representative Mike Bayham out of Chalmette, Louisiana, has offered up House Bill 487, which is going to institute a $250 fine for drivers using the shoulder or a turn lane to zip past people stopped at a red light. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
But isn't it already illegal to blast through a red light?
Yeah, it is. It is.
We need another law?
Oh, I don't know.
Fines would range up to $5,000, especially if somebody's injured or killed. But I really like his second bill, HB 846, which would prohibit drivers from obscuring license plates with coverings or films. Any type of covering over your license plate. You know, they put these tinted plastic.
Yes.
That if you're straight on, you can see it. But if you're blowing through an intersection with a camera it apparently obscures the view of your license plate.
Or a toll booth, yeah.
Or a toll booth, yeah. Right.
Right.
So this would make it completely, they said it's already illegal under Louisiana law, but there was no penalty.
Right.
No monetary penalty.
So it didn't matter.
You're going to set a law, right, but then there's no penalty. I don't get
that. Needs some teeth in it. Yeah, something.
$75 for the first offense, $250 for subsequent violations.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be interesting to see how many, because you see them all the time.
Yeah.
Covered license plates.
Right, exactly.
And that's exactly what they're doing.
When we come back, can we talk about what happened over the weekend in our community?
What happened?
At these parks?
Oh, if you want, yeah.
Oh, is right.
Yeah.
Oh, is right. Don't get me started. I'll share when I get back.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We had a gorgeous weekend.
Yeah.
A gorgeous weekend.
It got a little hot Saturday, I will say. I was working outside Saturday, and it got a little warmish.
I'm not sure whether it was Friday night or Saturday when we had the big events happening at Tinseltown where police got called. There were several fights among young people. Had to run them off. Then on Sunday, there were some planned events in the parks. Hattie Perry Park had a permitted Sunday Fun Day event. And that got out of control. And you've probably seen the videos of they're young people. They're under 25. Just wailing on each other. I mean, just wailing. And 20 people surrounding them, not trying to help.
No.
Videoing it.
Laughing and egging it on.
Videoing.
Right.
Like, get that cussing and, you know, doing what happens. And police swarm the park, come to Hattie Perry Park, break it all up. Then a little bit later after that, police get called to Ford Park.
Right.
This, which was an unpermitted event. People just swarmed the park. And it's okay. Sunday afternoon, it's a beautiful day. You can go to the park. You don't have to have a permit unless you're having an organized event that, you know, you're doing special things. But these kids just moved from one park to another, and police had to come out there again fighting. Now, oftentimes we know these escalate into gun events. Mm-hmm. People end up pulling out a gun. Thank God that didn't happen this weekend. It was just physical fights. I don't know the answer to this. I really don't.
No, I don't either. And teenagers gathering is nothing new.
Right.
I mean, there have been movies made about cruising in the 50s, and it's nothing new.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, what's the answer? But in 2026, it is a different environment.
It is, but I struggle every day with the person or the family that comes out to the park with their picnic basket and their two or their three kids. They bring their Frisbee, they bring their football, they bring whatever, and they want to enjoy the park. And then all of a sudden, the park is overrun with
trouble. Right.
That's just all you can call it. Trouble. Right. People looking to race their cars or fight each other or get into confrontations or blare their music as loud as they can blare it. And you are just there with your children to have a fun afternoon. Who has more rights? You know what I mean? I know you can play your music. There's certain city has some decibel limits, but are we going to call the police every time somebody cranks their tunes up?
We sound old.
I know we do. We sound old. We sound old and decrepit. And I also thought, are there now cameras in the parks? I know they were putting Ford Park was a priority for cameras.
Right.
And I know police have made some arrests in the Hattie Perry incident, perhaps Ford Park. But we need to tell these folks, you can't go to our parks and behave like that. We're just not going to tolerate it anymore.
But Aaron, like you, what is it going to take? What's going to change? You have damn youngsters mm-hmm. that get on that social media and call each other out.
Yeah.
And or say, hey, we're meeting here.
Right.
How can you combat it?
I don't know. I just got a text of John Paul Young, who's a Caddo Parish commissioner, who's actually running for mayor, as we know. He says the answer is police presence and consequences, including arrests. Shreveport is 168 officers down now, with a max of 20 on patrol for the whole city at any given time.
Wait, only 20 officers?
At any given time, 20 on patrol. I don't know that these numbers are accurate. Somebody can check him if he's wrong.
That's scary.
How do they respond to it? We have, 40 parks probably. I don't know how many, but a ton. You can't place an officer in every park.
No.
But the officer who's riding.
But you know your areas.
You should roll through that park.
That you need to focus on.
Yeah. And you know on a Sunday afternoon, Ford Park's going to be busy. If it's a pretty day.
Or Saturday night.
Yes, absolutely.
Friday night. You know your areas that you need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. It's just sad to me that
I'm not faulting the police. Don't get me wrong.
No.
I'm not saying you should have been there. You knew better. But if we have 40 parks, we know, these three are really a problem.
And my thing is, we have embraced technology to the greatest extent. Somebody at the real-time crime center on a Sunday afternoon should have those parks up. Those should be on your screen.
Well, sure.
And as you see the crowds start moving in, those calls need to go out immediately. Are we doing that? We might be, and I don't know.
Right.
If we're not, we need to demand it. We need to say, at the real-time crime center, here's the 10 parks I need you to have up on your screens. When you start seeing big crowds and these cars that like to race coming into the parks, I need you to call us. I need you to alert us. Hey, crowd's starting to form at Ford Park. Might want to roll. Let's get it ahead of time.
Right.
Before the crowd gets to 1,000 people blocking the road and, causing all kind of hecticness for the whole neighborhood and anybody else that wants to enjoy the park. And maybe they're doing it, and I don't know. Somebody needs to let me know. If you're watching the parks in the real-time crime center, kudos. If you're not, you need to start doing it. That's what it's for. We got this technology. Right. Let's use it. We know
have
this happens every...
Have cameras been installed at Ford Park yet? I know Chief Smith told us that was a priority or a focus.
Yeah, better than a year ago. I pray they have been put in.
Right. And can they use those trailer cameras, on the fairgrounds that slows you down at 4 in the morning?
Yeah, get the one away from the fairgrounds and put it at Ford Park. I'm all for that.
Right.
I'm down with that, absolutely. So... can we let Greg Adams vent when we come back?
Sure.
Please?
If you want.
What's he venting about? Well, the city and the convention center, they're about to cut a new deal, a new lease arrangement. And he has some pretty valid points. If he doesn't want to share, I'll share.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because
I might have to drag him in here.
We've got a huge event we bring every year.
Yes, we do.
To the convention center.
Yes, we do.
And it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
By the way, we did hear that those park events, none of them were permitted.
Right. We need to correct that. None of them had a permit to do the big events they did for the Sunday fun day.
Right.
City's got a deal on their agenda that I was digging through that was a contract renewal, it looks like, with SMG.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's no longer SMG. Greg Adams is in the studio. It's who's the company that runs the convention center now?
Legends Global.
Okay, and SMG's been gone for how long?
I don't know, like 8 years.
Okay.
It was ASM Global, and then ASM Global merger got bought out by Legends. So Legends Global.
You've got some issues, and you run GeekedCon. You also run the Crew of Centaurs Mardi Gras Ball. There are other events you're involved in. You are intimately aware of what's happening in the convention center. What are the biggest problems?
Well, I mean,
we have limited time here, Greg.
I know. All right. There are concerns about the facility. The facility's not ancient. It's not old. Like, the municipal auditorium's under the same agreement, and the municipal is very old, so when things aren't working or up to standard, it can be expected. Like this, this is a very old building, but the convention center is within its first lifespan still. And so when you have mechanical issues like elevators that don't work or escalators that can't stay running, those are big issues. And when you're looking at, you know, doing events of scale in a building that's that large, that's made to do these things, having not just working equipment, but enough of it. So having enough stanchions, enough bike racks, enough pipe and drape, all the things that people who attend events don't generally think about. But when you're putting the logistics of an event together, they're things that become very, very important because the people who come there never notice them until they're not there and things aren't working right.
Elevators are a problem. I noticed that when I was there last year. Is that still an ongoing problem?
As far as I know, yes. Not just, so they're front-facing elevators in the lobby. Those have had issues as well as the escalators there. There are also freight elevators, which is where a lot of things get moved when it comes to production, when it comes to food and beverage. Those are also spotty. I don't know if they're back up running, but for a while there, both have been unavailable.
Well, just simple things like dock doors.
Yeah, that's I know you've seen that.
Yes.
You know, they don't always function.
Who's responsible under this contract? Is it supposed to be Legends that's supposed to make these repairs, or is it the city?
I don't know.
Somebody needs to find out and fix it.
That's where, you know, every person that I am involved with these events, the city and at the facility, no issue with anybody. They're great to work with. Everyone is tremendous. There's something that's just missing in this whole thing that's keeping that from operating the way it can. And that's we just need to be better. This is not like piling on anybody or throwing anybody under a bus or anything like that. We have an opportunity to have a crown jewel to bring people.
See, that's what I was just going to say. This is not just an inconvenience thing, but the convention center is focused on people from out of town.
Right. Yep.
This is the face of our city. This is what people are going to bring back, the impression they're going to have of our city.
Every time I've been there,
this place is a freaking dump.
Escalator has broken down. Every time I've been there in the last 2 years.
And I don't know if that's, sometimes there's a safety feature, sometimes there is a mechanical breakdown, but when that happens, having the ability to get it back running quickly is imperative, especially when you're in the middle of an event. We've gone through that a few times. There's an opportunity to make this a huge, big deal. We have a crossroads section between I-20 and I-49 that can be a feature for this city. That can be a place that we're driving a lot of people to. We're having a lot of events at. We just need some TLC. We need to figure out where the breakdown is in this, and we should take care of it.
Okay. You don't need any medicine now. You're good.
No, I'm fine.
And Thank you. Not blaming city, not blaming.
No, it's nobody is to blame. We just need to figure out where something isn't connecting that 20 years ago it was.
Right.
And just over the course of time, something has just kind of fallen in that chain of command or agreement or whatever it is.
Right.
Something's just fallen off to the wayside. We just need to find what that is and put it back.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Greg. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.